Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Hopefully everyone is doing good. Everyone's feeling great. We are praying for each and every one of you. Hopefully everyone's had a great beneficial week and everyone's been enjoying some of this better weather. I know here in Texas we finally broke the 80-degree mark, so we're happy to be back to normal. It feels good outside right now. Just kind of went out and enjoyed the family. And so we hopefully believe that you guys are out here enjoying your loved ones. Remember to stay safe. I know here in Texas this past week, I believe it was on the 12th or something like that, a little over a week ago, our governor announced that they opened up everything to 100% capacity here in Texas and that you do not have to wear a mask. Amen. So depending on how you want to take that, some people are saying, no, I'm still wearing my mask. I know we still wear ours. Most of the time, I can tell you, I would say probably over 70-80% of the people that's out are still wearing their mask, whereas before, like 95 to 100%. Of course, even before, you know, you just had some people that was just not going to wear their mask. But we're still praying. Amen. We know that there's a hand at work. We are teaching in the book of Revelation. And remember, we're going to be teaching on eschatology. This is going to be a thing now. Amen. So what I'm going to do as I come back and teach Revelation each time, I mean, I can do this for the rest of my life, and you will be surprised how much Revelation contains to our life today and also in the times of past things, because Revelation is a prophecy. It's a prophetic book, meaning that all things lead to what? Point to Revelation, the end. And so we're just going to be peeling back the layers. Each time we teach the book of Revelation, whether it's the first chapter, you're going to learn something new. Amen. So you're just going to see a lot pertaining to the history of the Bible and how, again, it relates to the book of Revelation. Family, just continue to pray. A lot of people want to know what's going on in the world and how does this pandemic fit into the book of Revelation. Amen. This is just one of the woes. And when I say woes, not the actual woes in the tribulation, but this is just part of the tribulation. This is part of the Antichrist and the Antichrist spirit plan. Amen. In the tribulation Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, amen. The Bible says that, amen. Paul talked about it. So we're in the first book of John, the second chapter, amen. You'll see it throughout the Bible in the New Testament where they say that the spirit of Antichrist already is working, and this is what this is. This is the spirit against Christ, amen. And so, family, again, we just want you to be safe, be mindful of other people. We are praying for you, and that's the most that we can do, just continue to pray and believe for your safety, because I'm not big on the news, but my goodness, there's a lot of things that are that's continually happening in the world. I have a brother. He keeps telling me, you know, my brothers kind of remind me of my dad, because my dad, he was big on watching the news, and they're on the world news, and my brothers are like that. They kind of like to watch the world news. They say, man, you don't watch the world news? I said, no, it's too much negativity going on. And so they kind of keep me posted with what's going on. So if you watch the world news, that's great. I'm not knocking nobody that does. That's good. I think it's good to stay up to date on things. But as for me, I just rather read my Bible, study my Bible, and just listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because, again, I want you all to be safe. I want you to be spiritually knowledgeable about things. It's okay to be worldly knowledgeable, but most of all, I want you to be spiritually knowledgeable. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into Revelation, the 21st chapter. I remember last week I told you that I may or may not teach both of them together. I kind of want to put them together, but I said, you know what? I just realized today that there's actually another Saturday in this month of March 27th. So what I've decided to do is just teach, let's see, the 26th or the 27th. I think it's the 27th. Yeah, it's the last Saturday in this month. So what I've decided to do is just go ahead and just save chapter 22 for next week. And so we're going to go ahead and keep it on. Yeah, we got another Saturday in this month. So be the Most High's will. We'll go ahead and knock out Revelation here in March 2021. And then on April 3rd, We'll go forward and we'll start back talking about a little about, we'll probably do like a month break. And I just want to focus on salvation, amen. Because I keep seeing this question out there on the internet and just around the world. People have this little question about once saved, always saved. And there are so many people that have doubts about once saved, always saved. Man, I tell you, I wouldn't roll any other way. Because I believe that my God has more power, and I know for a fact that he has more power than Satan. I will not ever give Satan that type of power or authority, especially not over my life, amen, and my soul. And I encourage you not to give him that type of power over your soul either, because he don't have that power, amen. All power lies in the hands of the Most High God that we serve, because once he saves you, that's it. It's a one-and-done deal. There's no need for Christ to keep going back to the cross and dying for us. His death on the cross was only needed one time, not multiple times. Amen. So, you know, I'll just be praying for people who have that mindset and believe that, which still shocks me today that we are still teaching that. I don't know where it came from. I kind of have an idea. I just kind of just think it just came from a time to where, you know, people just really didn't know any better, amen? And that's fine, but we know better. And we always say when we know better, we do better. Because I remember my dad used to kind of preach that we were saved by works, amen? But we're not saved by works. We are saved by grace. We're saved by faith. And that's what saves us, not what we do, amen? Someone was trying to tell me or say something this past week about once saved, always saved, trying to say, well, something about it's because of salvation that we do works or something like that. And I understand and I agree, but works don't keep you saved. If works can't save you, works can't keep you saved. That makes no sense. If works can't save you, how can works keep you saved? It don't save you in the beginning, so how can it keep you saved? That makes no sense. Again, you got to put the horse before the carriage and not the carriage before the horse, because you won't go anywhere. So understand that, no. It is by grace and faith that you are saved. Amen. And because of his grace, you continue through salvation. Because why? He has saved you. He has made the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead. And, of course, we're going to read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. And 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter, which is the context of love, which Paul wrote. So we're going to read that, then we're going to say a quick prayer. We'll go ahead and jump into Revelation, the 21st chapter. Amen. So it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you tonight. Thanking you for your grace and your mercy, Heavenly Father. Most of all, we come thanking you for your son, Yahshua the Christ, the Heavenly Father. We thank you for his ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for his obedience, the Heavenly Father. We thank you for his humbleness, the Heavenly Father, to carry out your plan, the Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, for keeping us and protecting us from all hurt, harm, and danger, the Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name, the Heavenly Father. We pray that all fleshly mindset be removed, the Heavenly Father. Bless us to get into the Spirit to receive your word. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right. Amen. So as we're about to get into Revelation, the 20th chapter, amen, I believe I 21st, I'm sorry, Revelation, the 21st chapter, we're going to be talking about the new heaven and the new earth, amen. So I've actually come to learn some very good things, amen, about the new heaven and the new earth. I want to send a shout-out to Minister Elder Brazard, amen, for, you know, his knowledge, his spiritual wisdom and knowledge and his works in the ministry, amen. He's invited me to sit on his show on Sundays and co-host his show. Very knowledgeable brother about the eschatology in the book of Revelation, also the book of Daniel. I've learned a lot from just mentoring under him, amen. Just kind of being like a little an apprentice, amen, because, amen, he has the knowledge, he has the wisdom, amen. So it just amazes me, amen, how a lot of times, and I think I know I've said this before in the past, I've even said it some years ago when I was in the churches, it amazes me how we overlook our elderly people in the church. You know, it's kind of like we just set them on the shelf, and, man, they have so much spiritual wisdom and knowledge, and we don't want to use that. We're so entangled into this new world, new age stuff, and just so much of what the people are teaching now, and it's just misled us astray from the word, amen. We've left our first love, and this is why we have so much chaos in the churches now, amen. And so, amen. Again, shout out to Derek Oliver and his team for blessing us with this platform to reach out to reach souls, amen. Even if we reach 1 to 10 souls or 100 souls, however many people we reach out to and we're saving, I'm grateful, amen, because the Bible said heaven rejoices after one sinner repents, amen. So as I told you before, I don't know if you've ever been to a professional football game, soccer game, or a hockey game, amen. I've been to all three. And I'll sit here and tell you right now, I mean, you know, when them guys hit a home run out there in Texas Rangers Stadium in Arlington, Texas, man, I mean, the Cowboys, and they score a touchdown, but, man, I tell you right now, I think the greatest crowd I ever heard was being at a soccer game when Brazil and Mexico played, and my goodness, you talking about it, I guess because they go so wild because – it's very rare that soccer scores. It's not like football, baseball, or basketball. I mean, if them guys get one goal, I mean, man, they might as well score 100 points. I mean, the stadium goes off, and it registers as just like an earthquake. And they get so loud that you have to actually plug your ears how loud they get. I'm like, my goodness. And so the reason why I use that reference is because can you imagine how heaven goes off? When one sinner repents, man, heaven goes off. The angels in heaven rejoice. Why? Because they know what will happen to those lost souls. And when just like we say, we don't want nobody to be lost. I love each and every one of you. I love everybody. And the only way that I can love everybody is through agape love. Amen. That spiritual love that comes from on high, from the Most High. Amen. Because that's the only way that you can love somebody pure. Without being fake, amen, because, you know, this conditioned love where, hey, you know, if you give me this, I can give you that. That's not love. That's conditioned love. We know that Yahweh love is unconditional love. When his son did his ultimate sacrifice for mankind, that was unconditional love, and we thank him for, again, his obedience. And so, amen. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and look at some scriptures, and we're going to talk about the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. So we know that we just came out of the millennial reign, 1,000-year reign. So after the 1,000 years that we covered the other week in Revelation, the 20th chapter, after that 1,000 years, amen, we know that Satan's going to be loosed. And when he is loose, the Most High is going to just destroy him. Amen. The Bible said that, what did it say? Fire came down from heaven, and it devoured them that was with Satan, the people who served Satan. And then they said that Satan that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. But Most High said, you know what, I'm just tired of this. You know, he just destroyed those few followers of Satan. We don't know, maybe it was a large number, maybe it was a small number, maybe even been a large number because, again, you know, you'd be shocked and surprised how people will sit in church all the days of their life and not be saved. And we've said this before, not everybody go to church is saved. Amen. And it would shock you that people will sit on the pews all their life and all the days, so many years, and just hear the true gospel and still not receive. So I still don't want to believe him. Amen. And so you see that this is the same case. Amen. In Revelation, the 20th chapter, in verse 9, it says that how fire came down from heaven and and devoured them. And the devil, in verse 10, says, and the devil was deceived and was cast into the lake of fire. And so we know that all the unbelievers, amen, was what? They're gone. They're cast into the lake of fire. They're going to burn for all eternity. And I hope and pray that you don't be found in that number, amen. We want you to be found in the number of believers, amen. Salvation is simple. So Christ made salvation simple. He brought about the simplicity of salvation, not us. Christ did. When he died on the cross, he died for our sins. He took the most difficult part, amen, when he died on the cross. All you have to do is simply believe, and thou shalt be saved, amen. That's Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, which we call the plan of salvation. Now we get into the new heaven and the new earth, amen. We are so grateful to the Most High for blessing us with the new heaven and the new earth, amen. I'm going to reveal some things to you that I actually learned that I did not know before, amen, about the new heaven and the new earth, amen. So, again, I'd like to thank the knowledge of those that have come before us to impart and share their knowledge, spiritual wisdom to us, amen. And that's the same thing that I'm doing to you. I'm sharing all the spiritual wisdom and knowledge. That's one thing about the Bible is I don't hold back. I try to give you all the knowledge as much as I have. For nothing, amen, because I'm already getting paid and compensated by the Most High. And so it's not about, amen, what I can get out of it, amen, according to man, but what the Most High wants to bless us with, amen. So we thank him for the opportunity. And without further ado, let's read some scriptures. Let's go ahead and read a few verses of Revelation, the 21st chapter. Let's go ahead and dive into it. Let's see how many verses in here. Amen. So actually quite a bit, 27 verses. So we're going to kind of freestyle through this because, again, it's pretty self-explanatory. I think I said that for the past couple of weeks of Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 22nd chapter. Even though they're pretty lengthy chapters, they have some lengthy scriptures, it's pretty self-explanatory. I don't have to really go down and just break it down word for word or verse by verse because it speaks for itself. Amen. And so the final two chapters of Revelation will reveal some things to us, seven things to us. And these things are all new things, okay? And so these things just kind of give us an idea of what the future that Yahweh has prepared for those that love him and believe in him, right, through the Holy Spirit and through his son Christ. So one of the things is going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new things. There's going to be some new things. There's another word when it says new things. You remember what Paul said that eye hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what Yahweh has for them that love him. That's going to be including those new things. I am so excited to learn what those new things are going to be, to actually see and witness what those new things are going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. That's going to be beautiful. It's going to be so awesome, man. I tell you, you do not want to miss this. You want to be a part of this. Why miss out on this? For what? Somebody in the devil lied to you about some trinkets here on earth? How much you going to get some trinkets? Amen. I think I mentioned this before. Amen. And so how some companies do you. You know, I remember was one company we used to work for long time ago. We used to get nice bonus checks. And when we got bought out, this other company wanted to come in and give us some stuff. Like, we some elementary kids. I'm like, man, we don't want that mess. We got bills to pay. We got family. You know, we got things to do and things to take care of. You know, we're preparing for the future of our children. And we may want to go on some nice vacations as well. They want to come giving us some stuff that we can't use. We're not kids. We don't want no bubble gum and stuff like that. We don't want that mess. We will give us some money. We'll make the decision what we want to do with our money. But I'm just using that as an example to tell you that's what Satan is doing to you. He's giving you trinkets here on earth. And so many people have sold their soul and been sacrificed and been killed and murdered by people who are behind the scenes who run this world, and your soul is gone for all eternity. For what? Because you enjoyed a few years, 5, 10, 20 years of your life on this earth. You had millions of dollars in the account, $100,000 in your account, and you so-called lived the life here on earth. Please, man, that little short time of selling your soul to have $10, $15 million in your account to go do what you want, but those people that sell their soul, they go through so much. There's so many things that they have to do just to get that. Now, who want to do that? Amen. So back to the new things, amen. So I was talking about seven new things. There's also going to be a new paradise, amen. A new place for Yahweh's throne, amen. A new source of light. And those last two are actually in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. The 22nd chapter of Revelation. I'm sorry. Amen. So we'll cover these things, amen. I say we're going to continue to peel back the layers of eschatology, the book of Revelation, things to come, the prophetic word of Revelation. And we are preparing you, the saints, for the things to come. Amen. So we want you to be preparing what to expect. So let's go ahead and read some scripture. Amen. Let's go ahead and read. Let's read down to the fifth verse of Revelation, the 21st chapter. And it says, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Amen. So I'm going to stop right there because I think I need to go ahead and cover some things here. Now, you see that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, when I originally read that many, many years ago, amen, when I first started learning about eschatology in the book of Revelation, I actually thought, amen, because of what the Bible says, it's only one of the first or second Peter. See if I can find that for you, amen, before I actually state this. Hopefully I got enough time to finish it today. Now, we're going to make it work. See if I can find this. Amen. Well, anyway, while I'm looking for that, what I was going to say is that I actually believed a long time ago that the Most High was going to destroy earth and heaven. And I was actually kind of sad about that. I was like, man, so you mean to tell me because of what Satan, Lucifer, him and the fallen angels, the earth has to be destroyed? The heaven has to be destroyed because of what they've done? And I actually come to learn, amen, that that's not going to be the case. So when it says new heaven and new earth, what that means is that he's actually going to rebuild, restore the old heaven, amen, and the old earth, amen, because they have been what? Corrupted with sin, corrupted with with Lucifer and his sinful ways, and when he did his rebellion in heaven, and also him misleading man and committing all kind of sin. Look how they just even man through Satan to fulfill Satan's desires and lust. They have what? They have destroyed this earth. And so it's like, man, but that was such a beautiful thing to learn that the Most High is going to actually restore heaven. He's going to restore earth. He's going to rebuild it. And it's over in the book of Peter. I just can't find it where it said that the earth shall pass away. Oh, there it is right there. I found it. It's actually 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And so what that really means is that he's going to restore it. He's going to use the, like the core of it is going to burn with fervent heat. So it's kind of like when you melt something down, and we know that fire purifies. That's what it does, and that's exactly what he's going to do when he says, "And the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So what he's going to do, he's going to melt it down, and he's going to rebuild it. So think of it like of an old car. You know, you've seen them old cars sitting up in the junkyard, and they begin to rebuild it, and they make it what? Brand new. And so I thought that was so neat to learn that he's actually not going to do away with the old heaven and the old earth. He's going to actually restore them. I thought that was so beautiful to know. And I'll tell you another thing, because I know we've had this talk before, and kids have actually asked me this in church, was do I believe that animals will live again in the end? And that was like a huge question among kids. I guess, you know, there's some people in the church even, because people have attachments to their pets. And I said, well, you know what? That's a good question. It's kind of hard to answer that question. I know that over, I think it's Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, it kind of gives a hint. I know it talks about the animals will be at peace. But I happen to think that this is just my own spiritual speculation. I have to separate it from the Bible. Not the Bible says this. Again, this is just my spiritual speculation, meaning that this is just my own spiritual thought. I believe that he will resurrect all the animals from the beginning of time to now, because, again, if you see that the new heaven and the new earth is not going to be done away with, because, remember, it wasn't heaven or earth's fault what Satan did. It was the same thing with the animals. It's not their fault that Satan and man choose to do evil. And what Adam and Eve did is not their fault. So I happen to believe that he's probably going to restore, because remember, if you look at verse 1 in Revelation 21st chapter, it says, and there was no more sea. I thought that was very interesting, meaning that there's not going to be any more water. There's not going to be any need for it, because the earth is going to be just basically either earth, or we don't know what the sea is going to be in the future. We don't know what's going to be there, but it may be earth, it may be something different, but it won't be no more water, meaning that it'll be more land-type structure or texture, meaning that it's going to be more people. This is going to be for all eternity. You got to remember, it's going to be all eternity. So does that mean that, that the animals will get to be on the earth? And you may say, well, what about the fish of the sea and the whale? I said, well, you know what? That's a good thought. We don't know what's going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. We don't know what it's going to be like. So we don't know if it's going to be something to where they're going to have a place for the fishes of the sea. We don't know. Now, I said that that's my belief. Now, is it a possibility that he may not have any animals there? That may be a possibility. I know that may be a sad thing to hear for some people who have pets. I know that we've had some pets in the past, and that they have actually passed on. We love them dearly, and it does hurt, you know, for those pets to pass on, because you got to get a little attachment to them once they've been around you for 5 or 10 years or however long you've had them, and then they pass away. But, again, we never know. Amen. You know, as, like I said, part of the new things. It says new things. Who knows? We don't know how the Most High is going to restore things or what new things he has for us. Because Paul said, once again, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man, what he has for them that what? Love him. So we don't know. But I know there's a hope for that. Amen. Just like there's a hope that all our loved ones make it into the kingdom of heaven, that we preach and teach that as many people we know and love, and even our enemies, or if you have any enemies, amen, or the people who may not like you, amen, that they also make it into the kingdom of heaven. Because I know I've said time and time again that I don't want anyone lost, because it just saddens my heart when people make the decision that they don't want nothing to do with God. Amen. They're just so hardcore with it. Amen. So we're going to move right along. Amen. I know I've kind of been talking a lot, but let's move right along. Amen. So I believe I stopped at, I just stopped at the first verse. Amen. So let's go ahead and read the second verse. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven. Amen. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So the new Jerusalem, the holy city, that's actually going to come down from heaven. Amen. Because remember, we know we talked about how Christ said that how he's going away. He's going to be doing what? Building mansions for us, amen. And so not houses or homes, but we're going to actually have mansions, amen. So we see some of these mansions. I know that I've been on some of these little websites where they show you these big, gigantic homes, these mansions that cost, there's some mansions. I didn't even know the housing cost this much. They have houses that cost anywhere from like $50 million to $100 million. I thought that was insane. I'm like, who in the world would pay $100 million for a house? I'm like, my goodness, that is a lot of money. But, you know, if you have the money to do so, Amen. I don't knock people. But we know that as us for believers, amen, we don't want them trinkets. We're going to want that spiritual mansion, amen, that mansion that he has when he comes back, because we know that we got to worry about nobody breaking to our house. You ain't going to need no alarm system. You got to worry about things rusting and maintenance and all that old stuff. It's just going to be beautiful for all eternity. And watch this. You'll never get tired of it. See, you'll never get tired of your mansion. See, you think, man, you think probably after a billion years, man, you know what, I want to upgrade. I want something new, something different. We don't know what he has in store for us. We just know that we're going to really enjoy our new home, amen, in the age to come. Now, I want to show you something else before I move forward, because I need to show you this now while I'm still in the very beginning of teaching of this chapter of Revelation, the 21st chapter. Now, go to Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, in verse 4. We're going to read what it says. Amen. It says, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Amen. So it kind of gives you an idea that the earth is going to be what? For eternity. I thought that was so neat to learn that. Amen. That the earth is going to be what? All eternity. The heaven is going to be for what? All eternity. So, I mean, we kind of hope also that he probably will allow our pets to come back and live with us for all eternity. I think that would be neat. Amen. So, now we're going to go ahead and read on. Amen. The second verse of Revelation, the 21st chapter, says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their God. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5 says, And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Now, let me go all the way down to verse 8. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Amen. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. So as you see the newness that we talked about, amen, who will be there and who will be excluded? Just as plain and simple, those who believe will go. Those who choose not to believe will not go. Amen. Just that plain and simple. The Bible is not asking you for you to be perfect. It's not asking you to die on the cross like Christ did. It says take up your cross, but not to die on the cross for the sacrifice. Because why? We are not worthy to do so. We thank Christ for the ultimate sacrifice that he has made. And you are going to receive all these things. This is so beautiful and just so unbelievable, man, that I'm praying so much for you and praying so much for the world. And I'm hoping and believing for your salvation. I really am, because I love each and every one of you. And, again, I don't want to see nobody lost. Amen. So as you can see here, as we're looking at these holy scriptures, amen, the things that's going to take place. So let's kind of jump back up over to verse 3. Verse 2, it says, as the bride adorned for her husband. So you see that these are the saints. And how he's going to, now we're going to dwell with him for all eternity. We're going to actually be around our creator, the master, the creator of all things, the God of all things, the one and only true God, not the false God, not the fake God, but the only one and true God. And this is how much he loves us, because he wants to be with us as much as we want to be with him. Now, this is so neat, because think about it. He could have just been like, you know what? Man, you know, this is something that man done. Adam and Eve let mankind down. I'm not going to restore, redeem man. I got the angels in heaven. They'll praise me for all eternity. I'm good. But no, this goes to show you the unselfishness of God, the Most High, how he is so awesome, how he so much loves us that he says, you know what? Man, you know, he wants us to dwell with him for all eternity. I'm all for that. The Bible says that he should wipe away all our tears. Man, you don't have to worry about people dying that you love anymore because hopefully all the people that you love will make it. If not, we know how some people are. We do understand the realization that everybody's not going to make it. Everybody hadn't made it. There are people in hell right now. Maybe people that we may have known from the past. Maybe some, maybe family members. I don't know. But those that are still alive, there's the opportunity to teach and preach to them and share this message with them because, again, we do not want nobody to be lost. We love each and every one of you. Amen. But the Bible says that he shall wipe away all of our tears. Man, these are tears of joy, not tears of sorrow. We have made it. Look at all the things that we endure in this life, the things that we go through, man. Just, you know, not only just losing loved ones, but just things that we see on the news and just things we deal with at work and just life in general can bear down on you. And so we won't have to ever deal with that no more. You know, no more stress, no more pain, no more any of that stuff, no more aching bones and headaches, and we don't have to worry about our health and all these different things and more jobs and stuff like that. We'll never have to worry about these things again, right? And he says that, and there shall be no more death. We saw over in Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 13, how death and hell were delivered up and cast where? Into the lake of fire. Amen. So we don't have to worry about death no more. We don't have to worry about dying. Nobody's going to die anymore. Everybody is there that you love that has made it. They're going to be there for all eternity with you, right? So you're not going to have to worry about certain things, neither sorrow nor crime. Neither should there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Those things are gone. So we don't have to worry about them things, right? Very important, very, very important. So he also states who he is, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so, you know, he gives what? Freely, who thirsts from the water of life freely. You know, I remember one time they used to teach us when we was in seminary that eating will be a choice. I know the Bible talks about the fruit, there being like a fruit tree, something to that fact, and then there's water of life. Some people believe this may be spiritual. Some believe that this actually may be a thing that may be, that we can't eat and drink in the afterlife. I think it'll be neat, but we don't have to. Amen. So verse 7 talks about, you know, for those who overcome it. These are the ones who believe. To overcome is to believe. That's all it simply means. We overcome because we have kept the faith. We are fighting the good fight. We're teaching people about Christ. We're teaching people about salvation. Once saved, always saved. You can't lose your salvation. We love the brother and the sister. We're teaching them about eschatology, teaching them about his word. We want you to grow in ministry. We want you to grow in spirit, grow in thought, grow in mindset. Amen. So we know that what? We're going to inherit all things. All things will be accessible to us. The Bible said that he shall be our God, and we shall be like children to him. We shall be what? And he shall be my son. We are the children of the Most High God. Amen. So we thank him for that grace and mercy. And I just showed you how to become a child of the Most High. Again, the plan of salvation, Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. You shall believe in the heart. You shall receive salvation. That if you believe that he had raised you, he raised his son from the dead, and you believe that, okay? And then we talk about in verse 8, what? The unbelieving, the unbelievers, right? And it goes on to show you an example of who they are and what they did, right? The murderers, whoremongers, you know, people of this nature, adulterers. So we see that the characteristics of the unbelievers, and that they were what? They died a second death. They were burned with fire and brimstone for all eternity. And I gave you an example last week of fire and brimstone. I don't know anyone's flesh Now, if you touch them with something hot, they can take it. And I know that there are people who, you know, they do certain things that, you know, because of their false religion, amen, so let's just call it what it is, you know, they will do things that seem like they can withstand pain. But I'm here to tell you that you're not going to be able to withstand this lake of fire. And I don't care if you understand, you know, when people do some of these things, they die soon after. If they can contain a hole up long enough, they die soon after. Here, you're going to be your spirit, so the spirit cannot die. But it's called a second death because you're going to be in pain for all eternity, and then you're going to be separated from the Most High. So the Bible counts that as a type of second death because you will no longer be around the Most High God. This is very, very tough, okay? Again, you know, we want people to receive salvation, just that plain and simple, okay? So I know it talks about, you know, how Christ said over in St. John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 4, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Amen. So I'm so happy about that. I'm so excited to be a saint. I want you to join us in salvation. Amen. Now we're going to kind of get into a little description. Revelation 21st chapter, verses 9. We're just going to read it all the way out. We're just going to go ahead and read it all the way out to verse 27. We're going to get ready to shut it down in a few more minutes. As I told you before, it's not really much to Revelation, the 21st chapter and 22nd chapter. Amen. It's not, because it's a description of the seven new things that's to come. And just talk about pretty much we're going to live for all eternity forever. You can't beat that. And I told you all, this is the result of believing. You usually want to say, well, what do we get for going to be with the Most High God for all eternity? Man, you get the greatest gift of all, eternal life. You get to look youthful for all eternity. That in itself is a great reward. Who wouldn't want that, to live for all eternity and to look young for all eternity? That's really what man on this earth really would like to have. To be truthful with you, I guarantee if you ask anybody on this earth, if they had the choice to live a million years and look young for a million years, they would have that or $1 billion. Most of them probably say, you know what, I would like to be young for a million years on this planet to see. Some will say, no, give me $1 billion. I don't know. But the point that I'm making is this is the greatest gift of mankind. You see people in the gym working out profusely and crazy to keep the body in shape. People trying to eat right, trying to do everything they can to live as long as they can to stay youthful. When all you have to do is just receive salvation, you're going to get that for all eternity. You're going to get a nice, beautiful body that will look more beautiful than any point in your life on this planet. And the reason that I say that, because you got to remember, we were born dead. We were born in sin, so we were born dying the moment we came out of our mother's womb. So imagine how your body is going to look without death. Because we saw up in Revelation, the fourth verse of the 21st chapter, that death shall be no more. So if death is no more, your body is not going to be dying. Your body is going to be constantly living. And we also see that there will be the fountain of the water of life, that if you thirst, that you'll be able to drink from this water freely, whether it be something spiritual or actual water. I actually believe it's going to probably be both. That's just my interpretation of it. That's going to be both physical and spiritual. And you're just going to feed off it for all eternity. Man, you can't beat that. So let's go ahead and get into this description of what John saw in verse 9 of Revelation 21st chapter. He said, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Yahweh. And it says, having the glory of Yahweh and her light, her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal. John is doing the best that he can to give us a vivid idea of what he saw. Remember, this is futuristic things. This is stuff that's out of our touch, things that we can't even imagine. So can you imagine John almost 2,000 years or about 2,000 years trying to portray what he saw and his mindset and his time from which he came? So it would be just as hard for John as it would be for us. We wouldn't do any better. We think we could describe it any better, but we really couldn't. Because remember, these are futuristic things that we just can't fathom once we see them. Like, man, this is so awesome, so beautiful. I can't believe that I'm witnessing this. How can I go back and tell other people what I saw? It'd be difficult. Because remember, we hadn't seen heaven. Man has never been to heaven or seen heaven. Okay? And Paul even gave a great, vivid description that nobody knows. Nor through your heart, your mind, or your ears. We don't know what the new heaven and new earth is going to be like, or what Christ has for us, right? Verse 12 says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Amen. Ain't that beautiful? On the east gate, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. That's pretty neat. So on each side of these 4 sides has what? 3 gates. So we know 3 times 4 is what? 12. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. Verse 14 says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that will talk with me, amen, had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth and the measure. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. Verse 18 says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Amen. This is going to be so beautiful, man. You know, we can't imagine this stuff. You know, just reading it, it talks about gold, how it's going to be like pure glass, clear glass. You know, clear glass, I don't know if you've ever seen clear, I'm quite sure some people have witnessed clear glass. I've actually did this one time. We used to live in this apartment. We had a sliding door. And my wife had just got through cleaning, and it looked just like your fucking outside. And I'm walking. I think I've actually done it like twice. I'm walking, but trying to go outside. I ran smack dab into the glass. It was so fun. It's a good thing I wasn't trying to run in a hurry or anything. But I ran smack dab into the glass. Like, what in the world? I had no idea that the glass door was that clean and that, you know, the door was closed. I thought I was just walking outside. It was so funny. And so I'm just kind of reading this scripture, just kind of puts me in the mindset of how it's going to look. I'm trying to imagine how, you know, he said the wall of it was a jasper and the city was pure gold. Man, that's going to be beautiful. And like unto clear glass, you'll be able to see through it, but it's a possibility that it may be like a wall, but the wall is like, you can't see the wall. It's almost basically like it's invisible. This is so beautiful, man. This is awesome. And verse 19 says, and the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophorus, and the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th, amen. Amen. Verse 21 says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Wow. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord Yahweh God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen. We won't even need a temple. The Most High and the Lamb. Amen. That will suffice. Man, this is going to be so beautiful. This is so... And watch what verse 23 says. It says, and the city had no need of the sun neither. Oh, man, that's going to be so beautiful. Neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of Yahweh did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to always tell us that the glory of the Most High was so bright. And it also says that no man, I think I was reading the book of Enoch, and it said the same thing, that no man, his glory is so bright, even the angels, because they have the glory of God on them, they're so bright that no man can behold their presence, their look. And this is why when people say they've been to heaven, no man has been to heaven. People can stop that stuff. Amen, talk, they went to heaven and came back. You can't open your eyes in heaven. Hey, what are you going to see? What you seeing? You ain't seen nothing because no man can behold heaven. You have to be allowed in the spirit. When John, when he was allowed in the spirit, you have to understand that. These folks ain't winning no spirit in their back. I don't believe all that. You know, you got to be careful who you listen to. I don't believe all that. But, you know, you look at this and say, okay, he's going to light. There won't be no sun, no moon. Now, we know in the daytime, the sun gets bright, especially the high noon, the high hour of the day. The sun gets pretty bright. And so with the sun being so bright, imagine how the Most High, the one that has created all things. And so the star Sirius, which is like the brightest star that we know of, and the most, it's, the star is so huge. The star Sirius is so huge like a sun. It is so gigantic. It makes our universe look like a tiny speck on a basketball. That's how huge it is. The point that I'm making is the Most High created all of that. And his brightness is going to be so bright that you can't even look on it. So we won't need any sun. There'll be no more darkness, no more sadness, no more pain, no more tears. This is so beautiful. Verse 24 says, and the nations of them which are saved, you got to be saved to get here. You're not going to accidentally fall into heaven. You're not going to get there because Big Mama or Big Daddy was in church and they got saved. You got to do what you want. And they're going to, you got to give an account for your own salvation. Okay? You have to believe. This is the only way you're going to get in. But it says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Listen to that. No night. It'll never be dark again. Nowhere. I'm talking about nowhere. The glass is clear. Nowhere to hide. No need to hide. No need to be ashamed. Everything is clear. The walls are transparent, like glass, like you can see through it. Oh, so beautiful. No darkness, nothing but total light everywhere. No need of fear. No need to be scared anymore. No creeping things. No more hiding. No more scary things. Demons, devils, and imps, and fallen angels. No more of that. No more fear. No more evil things and beasts and anything to scare you anymore. No more. Okay? For Yahweh is there, the Heavenly Father. Okay? Watch what it says in verse 26, and they shall bring the glory of and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. I just said that. No more darkness, no more demons, no more none of that stuff. Neither whatsoever worketh the abomination or maketh the lie. Look at there. Nothing, the abomination. I mean, something that disgusts the Most High, something that's evil, right? Or anything that maketh the lie, no more lies, no more deceit, basically. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's Revelation, the 21st chapter. Amen. And I'm going to get in more in depth into it. You know, we talk about the new heaven, the new earth, no more pollution. You know, no more of Satan's, you know, evil things. None of these things. But we're gonna just continue to break this down, to go more into depth with this. But just wanted to give you, this is what this study is about. You know, as we go through Revelation, we're constantly, you know, going deeper. The next round, we'll go deeper. We'll go through Revelation from chapters 1 to 22 again. We're going to go in deeper each time we study it. I can do this for the rest of my life, for as long as I'm here on this earth, or until Christ returns. Amen. Hopefully someone will learn and pass this on. This is what this is about. You know, when my time come or cease, amen. And that's why I'm learning as much as I can from Minister Elder Bazaar, amen, because he has knowledge that we don't let that knowledge escape. Someone needs to keep that. Amen. We need that knowledge. And I'm going to pass it down. And so hope someone young is listening, and they grow on it, and they become smarter than us, and you become smarter, and you pass it down. Because we don't know when Christ is coming back. We don't know if Christ is coming back, you know, today, tomorrow, next year. We don't know if it's the next 10 years or the next 100 years. We don't know when he's coming back. We don't believe it's going to be that long, but we don't know. And so our job is to teach and preach the gospel and to bring as many souls to the kingdom of heaven as possible. We don't want you lost. We want you to get your ticket. Amen. And my dad said, get ready for the glory-bound train. We want you there. We love you, because we just saw here in the scripture where it says the saved. You got to be saved. And how do you become saved? Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt believe in thy heart, the scripture says it's simple. Thou shalt be saved. That's all you have to do. Stop listening to people that make you think you got to go back to the church. You got to wait till the church is open back up to be saved. Man, your soul could be lost. That ain't how it works. You can get saved right where you are today. No matter where you are, you can get saved right now. You can say to yourself, Lord, I believe you. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. And I believe that God has raised Christ from the dead. I believe that he died for my sins. You are saved. That's it. That's it, and truthfully, sincerely mean it. And when I say sincerely mean it, just like you tell your kids. You don't play with your kids when you tell them you love them. I don't. I mean that sincerely. I don't play with telling my wife I love her. I don't play with that, because it's sincere. If I tell my wife I love her, it's sincere. I really mean that. I'm not going to just tell somebody I love them and be playing. That's not the game I play. Because why? I have agape love, spiritual love, real true love, unconditional love. And this is the type of love we have to have for Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, because we know he has died for our sins. Amen, family. We know the time is winding up. Amen. We will be back on the air next week. We look forward to teaching about salvation. We're going to finish up Revelation, the 22nd chapter. We're going to be done. This is it. We have finished the first round of Revelation. This is just an overview to give you an insight to help you, hopefully it opened up to make you more comfortable with Revelation, to make you feel like, hey, I have some knowledge of Revelation. I understand Revelation a lot more than I did before or ever at any point in my life. And as we go back through it again, you're going to learn even more. Amen. And I'm even learning some things. Amen. That's the whole purpose, is for me to learn, to teach it. I don't care if you're a pastor, minister, bishop, overseer, evangelist, teacher, Sunday school teacher, preacher, minister, it doesn't matter. We want you to learn. You can be just a member in the church. Hey, just learn the Bible. Learn the book of Revelation. Learn things to come. So, family, we love you. I'm about to get off the air. Amen. Probably going to enjoy the rest of my day, probably with the family. Hopefully you're enjoying your loved ones, family. I encourage you all to be safe. I love each and every one of you. Be the most highest will. We will be back on the air next Saturday evening teaching, amen, out of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. We're going to continue the study of eschatology. I will be back on the air tomorrow, be the most highest will, with Minister Elder Bazaar. We'll be teaching them the same thing about end-time events, about eschatology, about the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. We're teaching about things to come. We're going to continue to reveal things. I know sometimes it may seem a little slow to you. You may want more knowledge, but we got to give you the basics first, see? We got to get you, a little bit at a time. We don't want to give you too much, because we want to make sure that you understand it. That's why I start at the beginning when I teach. I tell people things from the beginning, and gradually I want you to grow. If you stick with it, there's plenty of time. You're going to learn, okay? But family, I bid you all Godspeed. Amen. Yahspeed. Amen. And we love you. Family, we will be back on the air next Saturday. I'll be on tomorrow as well. I will hope to continue our Freestyle Friday kind of just yesterday, I was just a little tired. I just need to kind of get my body to rest. I know sometimes my wife kind of gets on me about going so much because I'm not young. She kind of gets on me about trying to do too much. She said, you're not light, not young. I said, you're right. So I got to kind of slow down and everything. So anyway, family, with that being said, I love each and every one of you. You all have a good, wonderful night. I love you. God bless you. Until next time, you remember, family, you are royalty, and I am royalty. Until next time, I love you. Have a wonderful, good evening. Have a good night. Enjoy yourselves.